Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Among the many benefits to studying history is being able to learn lessons about the realities of human nature, of human relationships. One of the hard realities that force themselves on us again and again is the bitter truth that promises don't always mean very much. For instance, in ancient Rome, there's the tragic story of Julius Caesar's violent end. Warned to beware the Ides of March, Caesar failed to realize that the threat came not from the enemies that he knew, but in fact from his own knife-wielding loyalists and friends. Stunned by the betrayal, Caesar's dying words, at least as recorded by Shakespeare, capture the horrors. He says, "Et tu, Brute, even you, Brutus?" It was true. His closest friend also carried a blade and attacked. Brutus broke his promise. Now today we're more likely to be shocked by a politician who does keep his word rather than one who doesn't. But of course it's not just politicians. In general, we expect promises to be broken. Right? Words are cheap. It's easy to blurt out a promise, but it's harder, so much harder, to keep it. The Apostle Peter seemed to have a running struggle with that reality. For instance, you have the night on the Sea of Galilee where he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." Fortunately for Peter, Jesus did say, "Come." The brash disciple realized that doing the deed was much different than promising. Then, of course, we have tonight's account. A story more infamous than the most blatant lie or broken promise of any politician. It's the night when everything crescendos for Jesus and the 12. It's the night when everything's going to come unwound. It's the night when Jesus is going to be betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, deserted by all the 12. It's the night before Jesus dies. Now, the night had started off pretty well. Jesus had gathered his disciples together in the upper room. They had celebrated the Passover together. Jesus had even extended and heightened the celebration by giving them, for the first time, the meal that we would know as the Lord's Supper. But then Jesus took everything in a very different direction. From that point, things went downhill. See, there's that uncomfortable business about a betrayer being there in their midst. And then Jesus had solemnly declared that every one of them was about to desert their teacher. It was an astounding claim, and it was one that Peter would have nothing to do with. He let Jesus know, he said, "Even if they all desert you, I never will." Even when Jesus says, "No, Peter, you're going to do that not once, but three times," Peter swore that he would die before doing so. And that night did not go well for Peter. Because, of course, Jesus' prediction was dead on. When the time came for Peter to stand firm, when it came time for him to declare his allegiance to his Lord, he faltered. In fact, he plunged headfirst into the denial, full force, as he demanded, "I swear to you, I promise to you, I don't even know him." Peter knew better, of course. He knew what the law said about the importance of keeping your word, of fulfilling an oath. He knew that a commitment, that a promise made is a commitment that must bind and direct you no matter what. But when the moment came, when he felt the threat of danger and suffering coming in, he folded and collapsed. Peter's sin was catastrophic. Peter's sin was devastating. Luther teaches that when Peter denied Jesus, it was no mere backsliding. He said it was, in fact, a rejection of Christ and the death of faith. There in the courtyard, with his denial echoing off those hard walls, Peter was lost. See, there in that moment, Peter had fallen from grace. He stood there condemned. There in that moment, Peter's sin was every great as the one of Judas. Now, Judas's tragic story is the focus of our other Wednesdays this Lent. In short, though, Judas broke the trust. Right? Judas always stands for us as a grim reminder, a sober reminder that none of us dare take for granted our place next to Jesus. A reminder that human nature, apart from God's grace, is all too fallible and prone to evil. Peter's fall here, though, he teaches us a different lesson. See, Peter warns us about the danger of broken promises. He warns us about the problem of words quickly and idly spoken that prove difficult and costly to keep. See, Peter's failure is so enormous, so blatant that it's tempting for us to pass judgment on him. Might seem reasonable, perhaps even justified, to not only chide Peter for failing to deliver on his promise, but ridicule him for being beaten by such a simple series of questions by a servant girl. No doubt about it, Peter completely blew it. And so we chide him for his folly, for his unguarded words, and for his weakness. And we comfort and we congratulate ourselves with the knowledge that unlike Peter, none of us has ever been as rash as to make a promise to God that we couldn't keep. Now, unlike Peter, none of us has been too quick to make promises that we knew would later become too difficult or costly to keep. It's good to know that we're nothing like Peter. Or are we? And perhaps it's been a while, perhaps even a long while for many of you. Maybe you've forgotten the promise that you made when you became a part of this congregation. Maybe you don't recall the exact commitment that you made and the brash promise that you made when you were joined to the Church of Christ. But you made a rather audacious and bold public proclamation. You were asked a question like, do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? You responded by saying, I do, by the grace of God. You asked, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? He said, I do, by the grace of God. It doesn't matter what the exact wording was there on the day that you became a member or the day that you were confirmed in the church. At some point, though, you stood before God, you stood before the church, and you declared that you believed it. You declared that you would live like you believed it. You promised to follow Christ all the way, even to death. Even if I have to die, I will not deny. That was Peter's promise. It's your promise. How have you done with that promise? Have you ever denied your Lord? Now, before you answer, consider what it means to deny Jesus. Have you ever missed a chance to witness with bold confidence to the truth of God and His Word? Have you ever, even once, let someone think that perhaps you really didn't believe all that stuff in the Bible about sin and morality, about living in a way that pleases Him? Have you ever seen someone in need and pretended not to notice because, well, the timing was pretty inconvenient for your schedule that day? Have you ever let your desires determine how you spend your money instead of letting God's will guide you? Have you let the way that you choose your entertainment and activities be guided more by the world's trendsetters than by Christ? Have you functioned in your marriage? Have you functioned in your home the way that God calls you to function? Or the way that everybody else does? You promised to follow Christ always. Can you say that you have kept that promise? Of course, there's so many other promises that we've made. The promises to parents and teachers, promises to friends and employers, promises to spouses and children. You've made so many promises. Have you kept every one of them? Have you done without fail what you have said you would do? The fact is, we're not very good at keeping promises. Regardless of our good intentions, of our good motivations, we often find it hard, or we might say impossible, to keep our word. The psalmist knew the importance of keeping promises when he wrote, "Blessed is the man who keeps his promise, even when it hurts." That's hard. When it hurts, we often quit. But when keeping your word is tough, it's so easy to change your mind, to explain the promise away. And when it's inconvenient, we just as soon bail on that promise rather than keep it. Now, who can do it anyway? All right, who can keep his word even when it hurts to do it? Our political leaders seem incapable of doing it. But when we look at the Bible, we see Israel. They couldn't do it. Right? They promised to uphold the covenant, and they failed miserably. And Brutus couldn't do it. He promised to be a loyal friend, but he changed his mind and helped kill Caesar. Peter couldn't keep his word. He promised everything. But when it started to hurt, he gave up. And he denied Jesus. You can't do any better. We don't keep our promises. We can't. But God can. God did. God does. God keeps every promise, even when it hurts. And it did hurt. He to keep his promise, God followed a course that brought more pain, more sorrow than any of us could ever fathom. To keep his word, God the Son had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. More than that, he had to be condemned to the curse and the damnation of God the Father himself. He had to take on himself the curse for every failed promise. He had to pay the price for every broken word. When it hurt, and it hurt infinitely, he didn't go back on his word. He did what needed to be done. He kept his promise, and in doing so, he redeemed us. Keeping his promise, Jesus redeemed you. Because Jesus kept his promise, every one of our failed promises is forgiven. Every fearful action is wiped out. Every stumble in discipleship is erased. Because Christ kept his promise, you have been joined to Christ. His promise keeping is now credited to you, and his strength and grace are also now credited to you. In Christ, you are forgiven for your failure, and you are given the strength to keep your promises even when it hurts. You walk with Jesus now. Now you walk in truth and integrity. You keep your word because you know the hurt is only for a little while. Jesus already dealt with the eternal hurt of hell by keeping his promise to the very letter. And of course, he always does. He kept his promise when he came in Bethlehem. He kept his promise when he died on the cross. He kept his promise when he rose again from the grave. And he will keep his promise yet again when he returns to fully establish his eternal kingdom. That is a sure thing. You have his word on it. Amen. May the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.